saw you two. You're married together, right? I know Kim, right, Kim? And you are? Roger. Roger, I saw you when I was up looking at you. Like, whoa, I could not take my eyes off of you for a second. Not in a, you know, not in some weird way, but because I saw you growing so tall in the faith. You two are going to be known as pillars of faith in the house. And there's a greater teaching anointing that God is laying on your life, even in this season. And the Lord said, I'm stirring up that gift within you. And it's time for you to arise, shine, for your light has come. God said, I've made room for you, even in this season, and this is your time and your hour. The two of you are going to be known as people of great faith, so get ready for miracles to happen around you. Lord, I bless them in Jesus' name. Well, I was driving over here. I'm coming out of my skin this morning, so you're just going to have to kind of stay with me. I was driving over here, and instantly I'm in like in a vision, and I see a field with bodies just laid out all over the field, like in the Civil War days. Have you ever seen pictures? You know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, Lord, what is that? And it's a battle. So I knew God was saying, you've all been in a battle. But right in front of me is a car. And it has on the car, it's a Massachusetts license plate, which is, I think it's significant. But anyways, it's the numbers are 318. That may not mean much to you, but it means a whole lot to me because I grew up on Route 318 up in New York. Not here, but in New York. Do you know what 318 is? When Lot got taken into captivity by four kings and their armies. They came and took Lot and everything. And there had been a little bit of stuff that had happened between Abraham and Lot. Remember, they separated. You remember that story? You're really good on the drums. You're really good. And you're really good. Is that the bass you're doing? Like, it's good. I mean, whatever you do, it's good. Anyways, Lot is taken into captivity, and Abraham hears about it. Abraham, because of what had happened between the two of them, could have said he's getting what he deserves. Ooh, how many know you don't want to be in that camp? If it wasn't for the mercy of God, we'd all be burnt, right? Thank God for his mercy. Abraham took his 318 trained servants. Can you imagine 318 going against four armies? And it says he recovered all. And so God began to speak to me, you're going to recover. You're going to recover. There's a recovering grace that's released over you today that God says you will recover all. There will be joy in the house again like you've not seen or experienced. There's an outpouring of the joy of the Lord. Remember what Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. So right as God's speaking to me, I see the license plate. There's a statue over here somewhere of a soldier. I was like, whoa. I mean, you know, we are in a spiritual battle. And we've got to understand the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Woo! And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I mean, you know, you got to bring every thought captive. Charity shared a wonderful story yesterday. She did a great job. How many of you ladies enjoyed hearing from Charity? Yep. She did good. she's had a word. Interesting. God said that, he said to her, you think your mother's tough? And that she's going to have a sharper word than I. And I'll tell you, when she was sharing yesterday, I could feel like, shoom, shoom, God was doing something in the room. But she had this, she was dating this guy, and a pastor in the area took this guy aside, he was in his church, and warned the guy about Charity, and said, you know, this girl is a party girl, she's been into drinking and drugs and going to the clubs. And so he said to her, you know, they had been on a couple of dates, and things seemed to be going fine. And then he felt that he needed to tell her what was spoken about her and to find out if she was now okay and out of that whole scene, right? And she's looking at him, and she said to him, you know, I did go to the clubs. That's true. I went with my mom to prophesy to the young people that are out at the clubs. As we went at 11 o'clock at night on Saturday night, we'd stay till 4 o'clock in the morning, prophesying to these guys that are out there high on all kinds of stuff and drunk. And we prophesied to so many of them. And I love being out on the streets. There's something in my blood that gets moving when you know that God is using you to bless someone. So anyways, she said to him, so that part is true. I did go to the clubs. But the funny thing is, I've never had a drink in my life. So he's looking at her. And he said to her, so what part of that story is true? How many of you know once you hear something, you begin to look with that eye of suspicion? And the best thing she said is that we don't even listen to the negative words that are being spoken. And I've said this, I've used it many times. I was in a meeting with some leaders, and they were talking about a man named Bob Jones. At the time, I didn't know who Bob Jones was. I had no idea, but I didn't like what was being said, and so I moved out from the table, and I said, I love that man. And I walked out of the room, and I thought, I love that man. I don't even know who he is. But see, that's the response God wants us to have, that we not even listen, but we walk away and we declare the love over them, because we're not able to love without God's love. It's amazing. I can look at somebody and not know anything about them and feel the love of God for them. I mean, we can be in this room and not care about anybody else in this room. But when we invite in God's love, we feel his love. Like Rich and Kate, Rich and Kate. Right? I felt the love of God around you guys. You've been in a test, and you're passing the test. And God says, my eyes are on you. Keep on going. Having done all, we stand, right? I don't know what I'm talking about right now. I don't know where I was in any story. But I will say, Bob Jones. Do you know what happened because I declared love for a man I never even knew and met? God opened the doors for me to be with that man a number of times. And I'm thankful that I got to sit next to him, to sit with him, to listen to him, and to know someone that had I listened to what was said, I never would have had the opportunities that I've had. I know you got to be careful. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a Father up above looking down on you and me. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. All right, so there you go. Whoever that's for, you got it. Everybody say it's a new day. All right, how many of you have ever looked at the disciples that Jesus chose? Like, do you remember the song we used to do in Sunday school? There were 12 disciples. Do you know that one? Jesus called to help him. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother, John. Philip, Thomas, Matthew. James, the son of Alphaeus. Simon, Thaddeus, Judas, and Bartholomew. He has called us to, he has called us to. Y'all don't know that one. Well, I learned that in Sunday school years ago, so it helped us to know who the 12 disciples were. Have you ever imagined which disciple you're like the most? Sometimes we say, I want to be John, because he was the one that was close to Jesus. Or how about some of you feel like you're Peter, you're risky. You'll just take a risk, and sometimes things that you say are a little wild out there. But, you know, Peter, I do love him, We need the Peters. He brings a little bit of excitement. Peter's the only one that walked on water, guys. He's the only one that dared to do what he had never done before. Isn't that wild? He got out of the boat and walked on water. Like, imagine that. Can you imagine walking on water? And it's not just a story, but it happened. It literally happened. He walked on water. I want to walk on water. I do. I want to walk on water. Well, I think, you know, Peter, James, and John, they were the three that went up on the mountain. Who, remember that day? Peter wanted to build the three tabernacles for Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And I can't imagine what that day was like. And so I think, yeah, I'd like to be Peter, James, and John, at least be the three that were close to Jesus. I mean, sometimes we want everything to be fair today, and it's not fair. And I'm sure that Andrew, who was Peter's brother, may have said, this just isn't fair. You're always taking those three with you. How many of you know God knows our heart? And I want to be that one that does walk close to Jesus. How about Bartholomew? Anybody want to be Bartholomew? We don't know a whole lot about him. But I began to do a little bit. I like looking at history, just like your pastor, and reading and studying. And so one day, how many of you have ever read the passage in John 1? It's one of my favorites. I love it. When Philip finds Nathanael, and he says to him, we found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Do you remember reading that? And Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And so Philip says, come and see. And he brings him to Jesus. Jesus sees him walking toward him. And he looks at him and he said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. That doesn't seem like a big word. How many of you know he's got a word of knowledge and some prophecy moving there. But of course, he's an Israelite. But there was something in what Jesus said that got his attention. And he said to him, how do you know me? Remember, Jesus answered and said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Like, even that. Okay, so he saw me under the fig tree. Well, I'm doing a little bit of research one day, and I discovered something in Jewish history. Now, it's not in our scriptures, so we can't, you know, say this is exactly what happened. But how many of you remember when the wise men deceived Herod? And they were told to come back to Herod and tell Herod where Jesus was. Remember the wise men came bearing the gifts? How many wise men were there? This is a test. Nope. The Bible never tells us how many wise men there were. We say three because there's gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Some of you, you got to be like the Bereans. Just go back and study it out. You're going to see it. We're never told there's three. But they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and that's kind of where we get the three. But the wise men came bearing gifts, and they meet with Herod, and Herod says to them, you go and find him, and then come back and tell me where he is so that I can then bring gifts to him. But that wasn't his intent. And so the wise men are warned in a dream. In a dream. Sometimes we disregard dreams. I happen to love dreams. You're going to be known as an interpreter of dreams in the region. God is expanding your revelation of dreams right now. And so, Lord, I release to her greater revelation and understanding. All right, so in a dream, they're warned not to go back that way, and they don't. Herod finds out about it, and he's angry because the Bible says they deceived him. So he sends out word, go out and kill all the male babies from 2 years and younger. Who, aren't you glad we're not in that day? I love babies. I love children. Anybody that doesn't love babies and children cannot love God, because God loves them, and I love them. But as I look through some of the Jewish history, they say that when Herod sent his men out, Nathanael's mother took him and hid him underneath fig tree. So when Jesus said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. I kind of believe that probably happened. There were probably other babies that were preserved at the same time. And so Nathanael, he's like blown away. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And what did Jesus say? Because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Behold, you're going to see greater things than these. You're going to see the Son of God and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Like, who wants that word? But to think that Nathanael may have been one of those babies that Herod was out to get, was preserved by his mom hiding him under a fig tree. I don't know what that would do for you, but I woke up in the middle of the night feeling like God was speaking to all of you, I know where you're at, and I've come to help. And so when you look at all of the disciples, they believed Nathanael was probably Bartholomew. Bartholomew was son of Talmai, which was the king, and so there was actually royal blood, they believe, in his line. And so Jesus had the disciples, and one of them, we believe, was of a royal bloodline. Isn't that kind of cool? I like learning. But how many of you sign up to be Thomas? No takers? No. What do we know of Thomas? Yeah, one time he doubted, and he gets a label. How many of you know we like our labels today? One time. I feel bad for him that he's known as Doubting Thomas. One time he doubted. Let's look at it in John chapter 20. The guy here with is a North Face jacket. What's your name, bud? Joseph. What a good name. Have you ever read Joseph in the Old Testament? Okay, Joseph in the Old Testament was born with a lot of brothers. And I like to say they were half-brothers that sold him out because of jealousy. And the favor of God is on your life, much like Joseph of old. And God is going to open up doors for you that are beyond what you can imagine God would do for you. I had one time, I'm going to tell you a story, Joseph. I ministered to a guy. I was up in Toronto, Canada. Maybe have you ever been in any of my meetings? Okay, so you haven't heard it. You guys have probably heard it. I love what God does. I love, because I know where I've come from. I know who I am. But I was up in Toronto, Canada, ministering. I'm going to do this really fast, all right? And I ministered to a guy that was sitting below the balcony. It was very dark. I couldn't tell what he looked like, who he was. I just knew it was a man. And I prophesied to him out of Isaiah 22:22, where God says, I will give you the keys of the house of David, and I will open doors that no man can shut. And God's going to open some great doors for you, Joseph. And no man will be able to shut what God does for you. Afterwards, that man waited around with the pastor to talk to me and thank me for the word because it was so relevant, and the pastor and he are all excited. I realized he was a somebody, and so I said, what do you do? He said, well, he's a professional football player, but he was wanting at that time to get out of playing pro ball into training the players that come up in the ranks of wanting to play pro ball. But he said to me, I need 8 more years of schooling to do what I want to do. But you said God was going to open doors. I said, whew, yeah, God did. I don't know what that all means. But it was a couple of months later, I get an email from him, and he told me they gave me the job that I'm not even qualified for, and they are paying my next 8 years of schooling. Is that not cool? See, God has ways of doing things that are beyond our imagination, and Barbara was talking about that earlier, our wildest imaginations, right? Well, here's the kicker for me. He sent a picture. Now, the scripture is, I will give you the keys of the house of David, and he showed me a picture of the building where the players come to be trained for pro ball. And you know what it's called? The house of David. And he has a key to every room in that building. So I will give you the keys. There are keys that God's going to give to you. You have a business mind, bud, and God is going to expand what you do, and there's going to be the favor of God on you. Don't be surprised of jealousy around you. You just keep your nose clean. Keep your nose clean, and you honor God, and God will make that way where it looked like there could ever, never, ever be a way, because his hand of favor is on your life. And so, Lord, I bless this Joseph right here today, and I thank you for him and what you're doing in him. God's coming very close to you, bud. Don't be afraid. He'll never hurt you, but he's going to love you with an everlasting love, and you will feel the heart of the Father for you. So, Lord, I bless him in Jesus' name. This guy right here, what's your name? What is it? Felix. Felix, you are such a steady person. Like, you keep everything steady, everything kind of moving. There's something in you that knows how to just gather everything back together when it feels like there's pieces everywhere. God has given you wisdom. Even from a young age, you had wisdom beyond your years. And the Lord says there is a great mantle of wisdom that's on your life. And I see people coming to you for answers and needing help. And out of your mouth will flow the word of the Lord. And God says you're going to be known as one who knows how to speak the truth in love. You're going to see past what they're saying to you. And some of them are going to come and they're going to have a little bit of lying going on. Whew. And you're going to smell the lie out. And it's like you're going to go beyond what they're saying and go right to the heart of the matter. God said, I'm going to restore the heart of the family, and you're going to be the vessel that God says I use in this hour. So, Lord, I thank you for Felix. I thank you. I see so much, Felix, in your hands of wealth and God bringing wealth to you. And so I break off every hindering thing that has held back the flowing of wealth to my brother in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so John chapter 20, verse 24, Jesus had come in. Maybe go to verse 19. Then the same day, evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear. I know they had fear in that day. Jesus has been crucified, and they're running in fear. And here they are assembled. The doors are shut. I'm sure they're locked. And Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. The guy in the red, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Can you imagine what that was like? I mean, they watched him be crucified. And now here he is standing there. He passed through the wall. Isn't that wild? I mean, I've often thought, what if somebody rose from the dead? What would we do? And here's Jesus. He passes through the wall. And he stands and he said, peace. Peace to you. I love the word. I think Barbara was looking at the word shalom. It's such a power-packed word. It's like salvation and sozo and peace and shalom. And there's power in those words. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. I can't imagine. I'd be bawling my eyes out, folks. Be like, whoa, this is better than I even imagined it could be. You're here. What happened? Would you wonder what happened? As the Father sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. I want him to breathe on me today. And said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. I mean, you know, it's a good thing to practice forgiveness. Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. Lord, I forgive them. That's a good practice to be in. We don't want a root of bitterness, guys. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold me back anymore. Let it go, let it go. I don't know, turn away and close the door. I mean, you know, that's what we got to do sometimes. You just got to turn away, close the door. Did you hear that? Close the door. Close the door. All right. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. How many know you don't want to hang on to unforgiveness? Ooh, and I've been through life a lot, folks. At my age, I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. One thing that I'm loving is loyalty. I mean, you know, we all miss a mark. No one's perfect, but I know this. You know the way the world's going to know we're Christians? Our love. And love keeps no record of wrongs. Anyways. Now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So for whatever reason, Thomas isn't in the room when Jesus walks through the wall. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." I never, ever understood Thomas until this season of my life. And I found that I've been able to relate to Thomas in a way that I never wanted to. Have you ever been in that place? Unless I see. You got to prove it to me, God. We went through a trial, a 3-week trial. Some things had happened with my son who is incarcerated. God's doing amazing things with him, and I love what's happening. And we minister, pray on the phone with these guys. One of them got on the phone last week and told us, "Your son has created a very great atmosphere in a dark world." And they call it Rob's block. They actually put Pastor Rob's block on a wall, and they had to come and paint over it. And people request to be with him. He stayed up one night. They put a guy in. I mean, he gets guys MS-13 and 17 in with him. And he stayed up one night the first night, because you never know who you've got in your cell with you. And he stayed up and read the Bible to him the whole night, giving the gospel message. That young man has talked to us a few times on the phone. He just did a rap about my son. Very creative. Tell him, Cher, you tell him what he did in this rap. I think this was cool.
Do you remember it?
No.
Oh, she can't remember. When it comes back to you, let me know. Because it's really cool. Did you record it? Well, anyways, we did record it. Yes, good. Anyways, I'm in this trial 3 weeks. And I know my son is not guilty of what they are saying, and I know something else is going on. But anyways, Charity and I were not allowed in the courtroom those 3 weeks. We had to stay outside in the hallway. This is how ugly that whole thing got. And the detective who broke my door down and went through my whole house, but I don't have anything in there, he was in the hallway with us, stayed with us the whole time. And I was like, ooh. So one day, I'm walking the halls, I'm going up and down just praying and worshiping, and I saw the detective is just staring out a window, and he's always watching, and so I stopped and I said, "You want to know something?" And I said his name. I said, "When this all started, I hated you." I did. What they've done to us is ugly, and it's evil. I mean, I've never even had a parking ticket, guys. Not that I don't deserve one or a speeding ticket, but I haven't. And so I said, "I hated you, but I want you to know that I've prayed, and I've prayed for you, and now I'm in love with you." And he turned to me with tears in his eyes, and he said, "Kathy, if you only knew how many times I wanted to come and tell you how sorry I was for what we did." And I was like, "Thank you." And I ran into the bathroom and I had a moment. How do you know it would be easy and I would have good reason to hold unforgiveness? I would have reason. You have somebody come through and